Arlen did a very good job in introducing the subject, the topic, and I thank him for that. What I say about ourselves is that we are not great hosts. We just like to get a bunch of people together and watch them have a good time. Down that same line, I am not a great speaker, but I like to be present where there are people whose minds are alive and they're talking about or discussing a subject that interests them. And so I hope that together we'll have a good time this evening. If I give you a speech, it will be very boring, but if you share your ideas, I think it will be a very interesting evening. So please share your thoughts. Hospitality is actually a pretty broad, can be a pretty broad subject. If what the committee had in mind was largely how we relate to each other, and they're asking for experiences, our experiences with hospitality and how we exercise it, and what we've experienced, what we've received as a family from other people. So I'll talk a little about our own observations and our experience. Some of the something that's been noted is that we probably are not quite as active in inviting people after church on Sundays, and perhaps it's there can be just a pretty big variety of reasons why that may be. But the idea is to talk about stuff and see how we're doing and perhaps provoke us to some more good works. So I have asked several of the young men up here to share some, to read some passages. We're not going to pick apart a lot of scripture verses. But I'd like to show you a little of what goes with the subject of hospitality. So first of all, I am going to pick on Joseph. Are you ready, Joseph, to read 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10? Actually, it is the other Joseph. We have two Josephs here tonight. Sorry. And you're right in line with each other. Okay.
And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
Okay, we'll just hang on to it up here. I'm sorry, I'm having a little... I hope this won't be too disturbing. Okay, you notice... provoke each other to love and good works, and so on. The verse is full of the things that make a well-oiled social life and congregation life. How about Romans 12:13? And I'm going to have Braden read that.
Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality.
All right. And Micah will read Zechariah 7, 8 and 9.
And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion to every man to his brother.
Okay, thank you. Hospitality in more recent years generally refers to how we host people. We think of it as bringing people into our homes and how we entertain. We often use the term entertaining, and we'll look at that just a little bit. But I think the original term hospitality had more of the meaning some of the most basic needs, providing safety and perhaps medical care. The Good Samaritan is I think a really good example of hospitality in that context. He took him not to his own home but to an inn, but he provided protection, somebody who was in really in dire straits, and saw that he was cared for. On the other hand, we often speak of entertaining, and that's kind of on the other end of the spectrum, I believe, if we get to focusing too much on entertaining, it puts a lot of pressure on the host, and perhaps doesn't accomplish either what the guest or the host is needing. Now we've got some of the Old Testament examples where Abraham, or one of those examples is where Abraham hosted these heavenly messengers. Three men showed up, and if somebody comes to you in that setting, I pictured it as having been quite unusual, and he gave them his best. Perhaps he recognized something particular about them that caused him to host them in a special way. But in that case, of course, it came to light then that they had a special mission. Lot would be another example of hosting heavenly messengers that he saw a particular need, and of course they came with a message that had great impact. And the point I'd like to make is that at times when we host, when we're prompted to show hospitality, it may be that we're actually entertaining someone who that God sent as well. It's referred to in Scripture as angels unawares, I guess. So it's pretty important to not neglect to entertain in a case like that. Well, hospitality is, as I mentioned, is much more than than hosting someone for dinner. My wife asked me if I have my notes. I said I did. And right now, it is almost appearing as though there is one that did not come with me this evening. So, if you'll bear with me just a little bit, I will make sure, and then we'll move on. Okay, Will, it's not here, so that won't leave us completely stranded, I hope. I'd like to talk now about practical aspects of hosting, of exercising hospitality let's not confine it to how we relate to each other here in our congregation, but what does hospitality mean to you? Apparently that's kind of okay, Leroy.
What it means to me is taking interest in someone and cultivating interest in them and being curious about them. Those are kind of the roots of, I think, many things, but hospitality certainly is, that's an important part of it. And I would just enlarge a little bit on your comment that, you know, once in a great while, special angels unaware come around. I think most of the time, the people that we host are angels unaware.
Good observation. Thank you. Taking an interest in people and being curious about them. Excellent. Harry.
One part of hospitality, and specifically hosting, is simply making people feel comfortable. And so that's somewhere between the pigsty and the front cover of Better Homes and Gardens is what makes people, at least me, feel most comfortable. It's about the guest. It's not about the meal or about the program or about the furnishings. It's making them feel comfortable.
Very good. We have David L. up here. Okay, Dwight, go ahead.
I was just thinking about the topic, the way it was entitled, about a lost art. And I think if we view it, and I don't think this is what was being implied, but if we see it only as an art, I think we've lost the essence of what hospitality is about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Well, one of the things that hospitality means to me, I, along with a lot of other people, like to eat. And so food is usually one of the things that we think about when we think about being hospitable.
Good. Okay.
Well, the mic's right here. I might grab it. Essences are the what is hospitality, or what are elements of hospitality. I just returned from Nigeria. And they had a custom there that I enjoyed. They would say, after you were there, I don't know if it came first or after a little conversation or whatever, but it was a nice little gesture with the words, "You are welcome." And I think making a person feel honored and welcome is a part of hospitality.
Okay, now David.
I thought of several things on this subject, and I think one thing that's important is that we don't only know, but that we're able to practice these things. I know a man who was sort of looking around in a Mennonite community, and he was sort of footloose and thought he might discover a congregation that would appeal to him. And as as it turned out, he did visit this certain congregation, and he felt very favored when the minister had a sermon on hospitality. What was kind of a letdown that nobody invited him home for the noon meal. And he's president now, a member over here at Cornerstone, Labette County. And so I think it's good that we know these things, but to carry them out is really more important.
Good. Okay. Marvin mentioned food. I am happy to talk about food. I like to eat, and so you men made some really good points. Harry mentioned comfort. Let's see, Lowell mentioned the welcoming aspect, or saying you're welcome, right? Honoring the guest. Okay. And David mentioned what happens in church. I would say too, it's unfortunate that the message on hospitality was not followed by an invitation. I'd like to pick up on Lowell's comment a bit, the cultural experience that he had. There's Americans have kind of an abrasive way of relating a lot of times. I guess it's how we relate, so we generally don't think about it unless somebody gets really angry and lets us have it. But an experience I'd like to share is where we were traveling to Thailand, and in Wichita there was a little confusion with our tickets, and the way the Americans came across, the frustration was not directed at us, but they expressed aggravation and frustration, and why did they do this, our schedule was going to be a little bit tight. It didn't do anything to put us at ease. We noticed an enormous difference when we got to the Korean side, and we got to the Korean airline gate. Of all the people around, it had just started to snow, and Twyla just wondered out loud to me if this could stall our flight. And they had a person standing there where these lines were weaving back and forth, and she picked up that comment, and she just very quickly reassured us that this isn't going to hold up the flight. Everything will be on schedule and no problem. She did a marvelous job of putting us at ease and making us comfortable. That's something that I think we do well to remember. There are people of other cultures that relate differently than we do. And I can think of times when I came across in a pretty obnoxious way. And I wonder how I was perceived by the people of another culture that I was with. So I would encourage sensitivity down that line. In Thailand, when you check out at the counter, at the cash register, there's just a very courteous gesture they make typically, and There's just a I guess a grace and a charm is how I would describe it, that that we don't find here very very likely. We appreciate it if people take an interest, and are especially courteous. But it's actually kind of unusual if somebody asks us how our day is going. We get our business done and we want to move on. That's the thing we have on mind in our minds. Actually asking someone just in the exchange of doing business how their day is going is unusual. That's happened to me, I remember that person. I remember another event of the day. It was just unusual for someone to take that kind of interest and be concerned about how my day was. On David's comment about church, I know of now I don't come up with his name. He has preached here. Someone who had come to Christ and was church shopping and driving around, he noticed that there was a certain church where the cars, that the people stayed longer after church. They didn't just flee to their vehicles and leave. But he thought there must be something going on there, that that they're interacting in a way that kept them at church longer. And I believe he ended up joining that particular congregation. Jeff Jarman is the name. Just came to me now. I'm a little afraid of getting kind of scattered and jumping around, so pardon me if that happens to be the case. That tends to be kind of what I do in a discussion. I remember as a lad, we would put up hay together. There was something about needing each other that was a part of that experience that I miss now. I like being able to put up hay really fast and lots of it. But the social aspect of putting up hay with Amos and his boys, Melvin and Titus, they along with my father had hay equipment and there were really good social times that went with that work. We would have enough wagons around that we could fill them and unload in the evening after it was a little cooler. And often a snack went with that. And I remember once when we bowed for prayer, when Melvin led in prayer, there was something of you could tell by the his expression and the content of his prayer that he was really feeling the pleasure of the hard work and the reward along with the blessing of friendships. So, Melvin, you made a real impression on me. All right. Are there other personal experiences you'd like to relate? That you've been prompted by things that have been said so far? All right. Will? I will offer a few more of our own experiences. And I was there one back here? Okay, please.
I might ramble a little bit here. I guess when I think of hospitality, I think of neighborliness, maybe, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, everyone's our neighbor, basically. The idea that what's mine is yours, and that any resources I have that can benefit my neighbor, being willing to loan those resources or help others with a job they need to tackle. I've been the recipient of a lot of those kinds of things. When I needed specialized tools or advice or a little bit of help with a project. And I think that's hospitality in a way. It occurs to me that often cultures that have relatively fewer resources than we do often do a better job of displaying hospitality or making time for it. I think of something that Jim Unruh said when he made a presentation here a number of years ago about the difference between poverty values versus upper middle class values, and how the sense of need for each other, dependence on each other, really drives how much time we have for each other and how much we're willing to interrupt our schedules to help someone else, versus whether it's hanging on to the things we have and protecting mm-hmm. our pile. And so it's a challenge to me to look for ways to help others and recognize the opportunities that come to me every day and make the time to meet those needs.
Good. Thank you. You know, my father and let's bring the mic over here to Ella. And while it's coming, I'll comment a little on Caleb's comments. My father and Caleb's grandfather were neighbors from way back, and they had skills and tools that they shared very freely. I grew up in that kind of a setting, and I have no desire to depart from it. I have seen where there was extreme independence, and perhaps because of that, a great deal of wealth. But I would not trade that lifestyle for anything. I see someone who appears to me to be miserable because of now needing to protect his assets and probably never knew what it was to lend or borrow. And so that's a tremendous benefit. We're a lot more independent than we used to be, but let's bring as much of that community spirit with us as we can in our modernization.
You've done a pretty good job.
Well, here's my neighbor, he's the same, he's this is mutual. Okay, Ella.
I have found a blessing in hosting MCC, guests for MCC purposes, and I noticed that there's still some of that being done, and I would certainly encourage that, reaching out to people that are probably not in need, but showing hospitality and then also being able to contribute to MCC for poor people. And I have found received real blessing in meeting people that way, and I would just encourage, keep that up.
Good. Shane.
Following up on some of the things Caleb said and then your comments, I've been thinking this evening trying to kind of put my hands on or put my finger on kind of what feels like the defining characteristic of hospitality. And in a lot of ways, it feels like inconveniencing ourselves for other people is actually kind of a key ingredient. You know, I am very grateful for, like you have mentioned, the lending and the borrowing that happens. And, you know, we enjoy having people at our house. Often, if somebody asks to borrow something from me, or if we have guests and they need more coffee, or they want a chain out of the shed or something, you know, I'm happy to give them more coffee or to let them borrow the chain, but usually I figure they're kind of capable enough to go get it themselves and take care of themselves. But it always makes an impression on me when I am on the other end of that, when somebody, even though I would be perfectly capable of picking that up myself, somebody goes out of their way to give me something that they are under absolutely no obligation to give. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I want to learn from that.
Mm-hmm. Good, thank you. Leroy.
I have to talk about Robert Putman. This is a pretty good segue. Robert Putman wrote a book called Bowling Alone, and he's studied social changes in American life through the last 60 or 70 years. And he says that in many ways we are losing our social capital. And so he gave some terms that are very helpful in sort of the conversation that I think you're trying to bring up. You know, we have financial capital and we have human capital, and he says we also need social capital to live well-rounded lives. And he really pointed out the role of homemakers and especially women in developing the relationships of social capital and making so those things work. It's the traditionally it's been the women who've thought about having people over and who've done most of the work to make that pleasant, cooking and, you know, getting the house ready and things like that. So you know, a big nod to the people who do that. And then some of the reasons he gives, which I think we understand, but it's good to say them, for valuing that and doing it are, of course, when we do an act, like Shane said, of hospitality, we'll call it, there's not an immediate payback for it. You know, we don't get $13 or, you know, they don't immediately do something back. But by cultivating that kind of response, we create an entire community in which we can leave our doors unlocked. If we're out on a trip and the cows get out, we know the neighbors will know and they'll put them back. We can just getting through our day and our week and our life becomes much easier and more pleasant and fulfilled in doing that. You know, this was this guy from Harvard giving me this lecture, and I've thought about that many, many times, and it certainly has inspired me to think about how we create community and what that actually means. And I think you're right on with this topic of hospitality, because that is what that's about.
Good. This is probably a good time to to share something that was emailed to me several days ago. At the time of my mother's passing recently, someone overheard other guests right over here talking about the hospitality that they were feeling here in this community. This community generally is not known for fine cars and large houses and what some people consider the finer things in life. But I probably all of you have heard people talk about the atmosphere of hospitality, the welcome they feel, the comfort they feel when they're here. And that person picked up on it very quickly, and I took note of it, that he mentioned that to me, and I said, that's interesting. I have a topic coming up soon on hospitality. And he said, I'd like to share some comments. So I was looking for it, and it came. It's not too lengthy here. I'll try to make it quick. I'm a 54-year-old man that grew up in a broken home. When I was 8, my parents told me they were getting a divorce. At age 15, they finally got it accomplished. In the 7 years between, I was back and forth between living with one or the other or both. It was a mess, to say the least. As I look back at my childhood, some of the things that stand out to me about both my immediate and extended family are yelling, arguing at family gatherings, feeling alone at family events because I was a different age than the other cousins and I didn't fit in. Actually, being in fear of some of my aunts and uncles because of the way they acted. When it came to a warm, loving, and safe environment in my extended family, it was one of my grandmothers that I felt most at home with. When I came to Christ at the age of 19, I felt like I finally had hope in my world and someone who loves me unconditionally. He goes on to say, one of the thoughts I want to share is how God has used your community of believers to make a huge impact on my life. And he was speaking of our community now. There are many scripture verses that I could reference, although I like Romans 12:13 the best. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. What need? What is need? For me, my mind often goes to the physical needs of nourishment, clothes, and a place to sleep. But what about the deeper needs of healing of the heart, spirit, mind, and soul? By practicing hospitality, so many things can be done in those areas of need. As I reflect on what God has done and continues to do in my own life, through this community of believers, I count myself blessed. The first time I was introduced to the Kansas family, I was in a state of disbelief. I was looking for people, not getting along, arguing, fighting, etc. I looked hard, but I could not find that. Now, I'm not saying that all I see is perfect, because we are not perfect. But I saw people who looked past each other's faults to be family. For the sake of time, I will leave it at that. But he's urging us to not lose what we've got. We take it for granted, pretty much. He doesn't. He was astounded when he saw what kind of benefit we have in the way we relate to each other. Well, let's talk for a bit about what makes a meaningful experience around that food and how we host people and so on as dinner guests. Now, some of you know about Twyla's Famous Pizza. We enjoy it almost every Saturday night, and it's become a meaningful tradition to us. I'm not quite sure where it began, but soon after Jeans were married, well, the thing of having pizza Saturday evenings goes way back, and when Jean and Amy got married, it became our tradition to have them come, and it's become the sort of thing that is really, we'll leave the hay field and the harvest field for a while to make sure we get in on it. It's just, unless, I mean, it's got to be pretty urgent to miss that. And she has ministered to lots and lots of people by doing that. And it began with Rachel Kipfer, as far as the way she's branched out. We were aware that Rachel had moved as the, I believe she's the oldest in the family. At least she had a bunch of younger siblings. And since I knew her father from CBS, I took an interest in the fact that she was Mark's daughter. And once when we saw her, we said, you know, if you ever need some more noise, you're welcome to come to our house. And one day, we got this phone call after church, and she said, can I come over for lunch? We should have seen to that before, but that made us feel special that she was comfortable in asking. More of the Kipfers joined us, and now we have a table full, and it's a little harder to branch out as much as we used to, but Twyla still has room. so that's one of the things that has blessed our family a lot. Something that we enjoy is, I refer to it as random parties. Twyla thinks it sounds a little too random, but I like people of different age groups and different interests to get together. I like parties that are not exclusive, and so something that fits that bill is to have a group of people on a Sunday evening at our cabin that are. You know, this anybody's welcome sort of a thing, and please bring some others with you. There are just good things that happen when we mix up like that. And be it known, if you hear about a random party, just come on over. Now, one of the Some of the most memorable times that we as a family, or especially Twyla and I, have had in hosting guests on a Sunday after church are times that were completely unplanned. In fact, the dish she had prepared was not nearly going to reach, but It turned out to be one of our more memorable times in hosting guests. At the time of my Uncle Albert's passing, a number of family on the Knisley side had flown in either late Saturday night or early Sunday morning and showed up in church. And due to the nature of things, we had not found out they were coming, and we saw that they were in church and discovered that they had no plans for a meal after church. And so we invited them over, and as well as Amos's. I'm not sure if Ella was here, was in on that or not. But, you know, we kind of got things out that made the main dish reach. There were probably some leftovers and so on. But the time we had in connecting, we felt was just priceless. Another time, if you'll remember, some of these beachy bikers showed up in church on Sunday morning. And after we left, I began to wonder if they had a place for lunch, because most of the people had already gone and they were still here. We don't do well at inviting people over like that, but I called back and asked one of our kids to find out if they had a place to go for lunch, and they didn't, so they came over. You know, there was leftover pizza added to the table, and things that made it reach. Once again, that was just one of the most memorable times of visiting, getting acquainted. We didn't even know these guys, but they were really comfortable to be with, and so somehow the you know, I suppose in a case like that you tend to drop your guards more, and it was just a good time of visiting. So my encouragement to you would be to not be too worried about doing something that's kind of out of the box. Might feel just a bit risky, but if you were at a church feeling a mite awkward and thinking that you may have to head back to town and find your meal there, I think you would say that it's a lot less awkward to be the host when you're not quite prepared than it is to have to be seen going the other way and having simply been overlooked. It can happen. And so, well, it is almost time to close, but I would like to give you a chance to share personal experiences yet. I've shared a few of my own. I've been a little candid. So
I'd like to bring up something that we have an issue here. Mm-hmm. That is, you have a hosting committee for a certain
Sunday. Over at Cedar Crest, they have that, and then it's also true in Kelowna, Iowa. Now, I realize that that could have the effect that none of the rest of us are concerned. I do know over at Cedar Crest, if there's a hosting committee, if there's nobody, no visitors there particularly, they'll invite others there. And so I think that's one way of cultivating it. And I realize there's two sides to every discussion. I think it's been discussed here some. I'm not seriously that I'm aware of. But it occurs to me that we maybe would want to give some attention to having a hosting committee so that visitors wouldn't fall through the cracks unwittingly. And if there were no visitors, well, maybe somebody else would fill up the cracks.
That has its benefits, and it would probably get us to invite people. There's a hand back there, two hands. We'll go for however it happens.
Well, I'll share a little bit there of my younger years of growing up in my back in Missouri. My parents always had open doors and invited people, and oftentimes there was a lot of people that showed up on Sunday evenings without even being invited, and it seemed like those were one of the most memorable connections there with friends and people from the church and so forth. And yeah, I'm sure, we fall far short in really opening our doors so wide there like my parents maybe has, but then at the same time, there's so many good experiences with that. But we certainly would invite people to come to our house too. So.
Lowell, right behind you, Dwight.
My father-in-law in Costa Rica set an example for us in using hospitality to strangers as a way of outreach or people that weren't necessarily from our circles or our background. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. I think we have things in our culture to offer people. And as we can open our doors and share some of that with others, it gives an opportunity also to share with the gospel. And incidentally, we have had some circles or some connections that still hail from those Costa Rica connections here in Reno County. And I just say that that's something that we shouldn't view too lightly. I think we can use some of our settings and our culture as a way of carrying the gospel to others.
Hospitality is a powerful way to do ministry. There is another hand. Okay, Linda?
I'm thinking of a time that I was a visitor in an out-of-state church, and I received three invitations for dinner, and one of them was from the assigned hostess. And then there were two other ladies that I knew, friends of mine. One of them said, "You're welcome to come, but we have extended family there. We might not be able to spend as much time with you as we would like, but you're welcome to come." And I felt that welcome, but I ended up going with the other lady's invitation, a friend of mine, and I was grateful that I had three invitations. All I needed was one, and that, okay. And I had a good time with my friends that day.
Thank you, Lois.
I'd like to share an experience that our family enjoyed just last evening. Bessie Henderson wanted to invite our family over for supper, and she has very limited resources. She had to asked somebody to take her to the grocery store to get groceries. She didn't have enough plates for us, so she borrowed plates, and she borrowed chairs and a table. I just was pretty humbled and overwhelmed by her generosity with her little that she had.
That's another interesting aspect. Leroy is next. We talk emphasize the different aspects of just mutual enjoyment and not going all out. But there's an example of somebody who really went, who really extended herself to get this accomplished. And I'm sure, I feel certain she was blessed, and you, by what you have said, certainly were too. Leroy.
I have two things. One is small groups. I really want to... Yes. Point out how important that has been in my developing friendships and social relationships with people that I didn't think really we had much in common, and they just weren't, people that I would have thought I would enjoy spending time with. And so the point there is that it's cultivating is the word I think we want, and that we can cultivate by spending time with each other, and that creates relationship even in a surprising way sometimes. So I really like that. And the other thing, that word you used, vulnerable, and how pleasing it was when you kind of, without really full preparation, did things. You want to really feel that, go out and hitchhike. It's just an amazing thing to depend on the kindness of strangers and to receive kindnesses that are above and beyond anything you can imagine. I'm just one little story. I was hitchhiking in the winter in Germany, and I was still about 30 miles from the town I wanted to go to, where I knew there was a youth hostel. And it was dark, you know, and it's hard to get rides. And this fellow picked me up, drove me halfway there, and we talked a little bit, and I told him where I wanted to go, and he left, and about 10 minutes later, car stopped, and I said, oh, great, and I want to go there. And he said, no, I'm the guy that brought you here, and I went home and talked with my wife, and we don't think you're going to get a ride, and would you just stay with us? And I was cold. And when I got there, they had a hot bath drawn, and they had the guest bed ready, and they fed me a hot soup and sent me on my way the next morning. And it was truly an angel that took care of me that night. And I really have to recommend hitchhiking. I do.
And that brings me to a quote I have here. I'm not sure who to give credit. I tried to find out, and there's a question. But I first heard Leroy say it, and that is that people may forget what you say, but they will never forget how you made them feel. And I have other things that I was going to say, but I think we have said enough. Thank you so much for sharing. I see this, you know, while I'm encouraging us to be hospitable, to do the inviting thing, I see this group as being accomplished at caring for others. And I am very glad to be a part of this group. Thank you a lot. I'll turn it back over to Arlen.